Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a full show of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck, wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. To book your free marriage strategy session with Nicola, get the free marriage ebook or donate. If you are enjoying the show and want to help keep it flowing, visit www.nicolabeer.com.
Hi and welcome. So happy you're here. I'm going to be talking now about how to keep going if you're the only one trying in your relationship. Because working on a relationship when you're the only one trying can be really difficult. You may hit points where you feel like this is so unfair, I'm fed up, I've had enough. You may take out your frustration on your partner, on your children, if you have any, on work, and it can really affect your whole happiness. And that's if you really get into that mindset where you're like, I give up. Or where you get into the mindset of, I'm really frustrated, so I'm going to tell my partner how much they're making me miserable. I'm going to show them how I can't eat or how I can't sleep or how they're causing me stress. I'm going to tell them how unfair they're being. I'm going to complain. And that, of course, is going to push them further and further away. And you're going to get the opposite of what you want if you're looking to save the relationship. So this episode is for you if you feel that you're in that situation all of the time or some of the time, and you're struggling. You know, it's really important to focus on the end result that you want, to pick yourself up and dust yourself off and carry on. I learned this lesson when trying to pass my driving test. On the morning before the test, I would feel so strongly that there is no point, I'm going to fail. I'd also feel the disappointment and worry of, what would I do when it doesn't work out, when I don't pass that test? So when the test would come, I would be so nervous and panicked. And then during the test, when I was asked to do the dreaded reverse around the corner park, I'd feel worry and disappointment inside before I'd even moved the car, before I'd even taken a turn on the steering wheel. I would expect to fail. It was an awful time for me, to be honest. I felt hopeless, and this was reflected in my attitude and then the results. After I'd made a mistake in the test, I didn't see the point in trying to be perfect. I just decided in my head I'd failed. And then I started the thoughts of feeling super sorry for myself. Why does everything mess up for me? How much is this going to cost me now? I've failed another test because I had to pay for the test. I had to pay for the car for 2 hours from the driving instructor. I had to pay for the driving instructor's time. It was so expensive. I'd also worry about what are other people going to think of me? What am I going to tell my work colleagues? Because they knew that I booked the morning off to do the driving test. What am I going to tell my friends, my family? And then I would go into beating myself up mode. I'm an idiot, I'm useless, I can't cope with this anymore, I can't do this anymore, I can't face this, maybe I'll just give up, maybe I don't need to drive. But it was such a shame because I'd spent all of that money and I'd run out of money twice learning to drive, so I was doing it late in my life, 23. I tried when I was 18, but I ran out of money, and then I tried when I was 21 and I ran out of money. So I had to keep on like stopping, and I was thinking like, God, I really want to pass this test, but this is just awful. And I would say to myself, I can't cope with this. This is awful. And then when I got the result, you failed. I just felt all those knots in my stomach churning, self-hate, self-loathing, churning and painful. Could feel those cramps in my stomach. I was too stressed to eat. I was just so angry at myself. And then I would call the driving centre and book another test. I wish I knew what I knew now. I wish I could go back to that 23-year-old me and say, I love you. You can do this. Believe in yourself. I wish I had the skills then to create my hypnotherapy meditation tracks, telling me that you're going to sail through it, you're going to pass, you're going to enjoy driving, it's going to be easy, you can do this. I wish I could hold and hug myself and say, your life is going to be great, Nicola, don't worry about this. That this negative thinking is a poison, this lack of belief in yourself, this self-pity, this poor me, is just not going to get you anywhere. And that you are worthy of love and happiness. Speak to yourself in a better way. Focus on what you're grateful for. Set yourself up to win with that mindset of winning. But I just didn't know that then. I didn't know that if you let go of self-criticism, if you make sure you're not in self-pity, that you go faster and further in life. So each test, I went in with this no confidence and this dread, and the self-fulfilling prophecy happened. Guess what? I failed. And then I dread it for another month because the waiting list was about a month. And then I would do the same and the same and again. And you really want to know how many times I took my driving test? If you're really that interested, I'll tell you at the end. But you know what? I kept going. Paid for more lessons, more guidance, more tests. And I got back on that horse after falling off again and again. And again, and again, and I'll stop there. So creating your ideal relationship is kind of like this. Rebuilding a relationship after something bad has happened, a life event, disconnect, and affairs, betrayal in other ways. To get through this, you have to know what you want. Be willing to learn new skills and seek the right guidance. And to not give up hope. To get back on that horse, even when you feel or think that the odds are against you. I finally passed. Woohoo! Because for me, failing was not an option. I had to do it. Come what may, my determination got me through. And the result? I'm a very good driver now, even if I do say so myself. So here is how you can help yourself through the tough times. Especially if you are the only one trying in your relationship. Rule number one, be kind to yourself. The way that you talk to yourself is so important, especially if you find yourself in a difficult or demanding relationship or facing challenges in your life. Take time out to repeat positive and caring words to yourself. And do this every time negative words come up. And you'll most definitely see the impact that it has on your mood. Say yourself, we're going to get through this. We're going to have a good relationship. I can keep going. It's going to happen. Whatever it is that's going to support you. The next thing is to perhaps practice breathing techniques if you're feeling unsettled, uncentered, in a negative state. When you find a situation that is causing you any anxiety or stress, calm the body and mind by focusing on taking deeper, slower breaths. Yes, breathing may seem like the last thing on your mind when going through stress or sadness of relationship issues, but it can influence your state quickly when you begin to focus on it. When you are calmer, your reactions will be calmer, and you're less likely to be too needy or too aggressive. It is also in calm states that we gain the clarity and perspectives on how to deal with things. So this breathing, just giving yourself some breathing exercises every morning, or when you find yourself really frustrated about something, going and taking 10 minutes away and just doing a few breathing techniques. And there's so many on YouTube. Just Google it. Look at what ones you like. Wim Hof is an amazing one that I can recommend, and there's so many others. The next is to really take responsibility for you and only you. It's empowering to take responsibility for where we are and our part in situations. This is healthy, and when you take responsibility, you not only acknowledge something, you own it by taking creative actions. This also builds confidence, as taking action makes you feel good knowing that you're doing something rather than nothing. I get this feedback all the time from those that I work with. They feel empowered and good about themselves as soon as we start the program, because they're saying, okay, I'm doing something now. I'm going to learn new communication skills. I'm going to learn new ways to connect with my partner. I'm going to make sure that I'm not being needy. I'm going to get the tools and skills to become more attractive. I'm going to get rid of my own negativity and resentment. I'm empowering myself. I'm doing all these positive things. The moment they literally decide to do it, they feel good because they know, okay, I'm taking ownership and I'm owning this. And sometimes even their partners will change almost exactly at the same time because they can see, wow, they are serious about this. They are going to make things different. I can trust them that we're not going to have 2 good weeks and then that's going to be it, or a good few months and then we're going to slip back into the old way. They're actually hiring someone to learn the skills and do the things. So getting into action is not only a good symbol for yourself, but also for your partner. Now, sometimes we can also take on some kind of responsibility for the way that our partner behaves and the way that they treat us. We may blame ourselves or want to manage their life for them. If you can relate to this, then you need to remind yourself that you are not responsible for anyone else's behavior or actions. Everyone has the power to control their own behavior, to seek help if they need it. The question to ask yourself here is, are you caring for your partner or are you caretaking? Caring is looking after someone because you care about them. Caring for them, looking after them from a place of love, as long as it's not sacrificing yourself and you're still looking after yourself. Caretaking is where you are doing something for the person. You're taking over. You're making excuses perhaps for them. You're putting yourself last. You're interfering in their life. And you may feel that you're actually helping, but you're not. And sometimes you could even be enabling the same behaviors. Enabling harmful habits is not going to help the relationship one bit. And boundaries are really needed here. And the last thing to really focus on is to allow yourself to feel the emotions that come up. The journey to having a close, rewarding relationship is not straightforward. We've been made to believe from childhood that you find the one, you fall in love, you live happy ever after. It's not just the Disney movies that show us this. It's also adult romantic comedy films that, and action films that have us believe that all we need to do is find that person and then live in bliss. Of course, that is not true. There is inevitable ups and downs. Times where you feel close, times where you feel irritated, sad, unloved, times where you feel lonely, times where you feel frustrated, times where you feel great, positive, happy, motivated. It's a roller coaster. And what we want to do in life is not to not feel those, but just make it swing less one way, not to have such high and low dips. We want to have that resilience and that attitude to, okay, focusing on what I can control, taking it a day as it comes, focusing on what are the positive actions that I can do for my partner, for myself, for my family, and for whatever else is important to you in your life. Some people find journaling or talking really, really helpful in this area, to process the emotions, to process the feelings, to process the thoughts. So you can write down your thoughts and then answer them. You can release the negativity by getting it out on an email and sending it to someone that's going to listen and is there for you. You can talk it through. Getting the thoughts out of your head is a really powerful way to help process them and release them. Because sometimes people can get stuck going round and round and round with the same negative thoughts, like I mentioned earlier, Why is it me? This is so unfair. I'm doing everything. They don't seem to care, and they just get stuck in this negative cycle of thoughts, which makes them feel low. And sometimes then that low mood causes people to latch onto other habits that do not serve them, and then it becomes a cycle where they get a bit stuck. Talking it through can also help set a plan of action to get through it, to change the emotions through positive steps. I've had the opportunity to work with so many people from around the world, and I just want to share a story with you, Names Change to Protect Identity, of Ben and Sylvie, to show what is possible to change a stale relationship into a thriving, loving one. Ben had been married for 12 years to Sylvie, who was super loving and caring at the beginning, a warm, affectionate person. Over the past few years, he noticed a change in her that really got bad in the past few months before he came to work with me. They used to argue more than ever. Every time he tried to discuss something, they ended up verbally attacking one another. And it had been months of this, and they hadn't come to a single agreement, much to Ben's disappointment. His wife, Sylvie, was fine coexisting and focusing on other things to bring her happiness, like the kids, yoga, seeing family and friends. She did not see the problem with their relationship. She saw, yes, we've drifted apart, and that's the way it is. She had no interest in making the relationship closer, reviving the intimacy, and she told Ben to just accept it. This is the way that their life would be. She refused marriage counselling because she said, I don't really see a problem. She was happy with mediocre and living like flatmates. Ben was not. He was worried and frustrated. Worried that if things didn't change, he may have to make some life-changing decisions. But he wanted to try everything first. He said to me, Nicola, I really don't want to live the rest of my life in an emotionless, sexless marriage. I'm only 47 and I can't carry on like this. But I don't want to be with anyone else. I miss her. I love her. We used to have conversation. We used to have companionship. I want that back. So that's how we got working with each other. Because before that, you see, he read books, he listened to podcasts, he watched YouTube videos, and he got all of this information, but it wasn't really helping him. Most of the information that he found was telling him to talk to his wife, to tell her how much she means to him, to tell her what he wants in the relationship, to tell her how he's sad, to tell her how he's frustrated, to tell her how much sex means to him, to tell her everything. And of course, let's put ourselves in Sylvie's shoes. All she is saying and hearing from her husband is, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. That is going to make you not want to spend any time with that person. You're going to feel bogged down by them. You're going to feel pressured by them. You're going to feel they're dragging your energy, the negative. That is a sure way that can lead to an ending of a relationship. And it's really unattractive. Complaining is unattractive. So this is how I helped. Very quickly, I realized that Ben was complaining, which is unattractive. He was being needy. He was sometimes being controlling and sometimes being aggressive. These habits all had to be changed for positive reinforcement, tools and actions. Actions to rebuild love and closeness. Getting out of self-pity into loving, giving, positive things. We also worked on clearing his negativity and resentment so that he could be free. His health got better, his attitude got better, the time he spent with his children got better, the relationship with his family got better, everything shifted. And then we worked on how to be more attractive, and there's loads of different ways that I helped him to do that. And so he was more fun, he was more engaging, he was more upbeat, he was like living his life how he wanted to live his life. And Sylvie became more and more attracted, more and more wanting to be around him. It was like a switch had been turned on. They began laughing again, enjoying each other's company, and now they're at a really, really good point. He said it was even better than it was before they had children, which is amazing. So if you're struggling in your relationship right now, get into some action. Stop complaining. If you can get some support, get some support. I've got my audio programs. If you are unable to afford one-to-one help right now, they have step-by-step actions that you need to take. Every single lesson, there's 21 lessons in the relationship course, has exercises to do so that you can start to shift things. Because talking does not save a relationship. It does nothing. It's only actions that create change and mindset shifts. And in the course, there's both how to switch off anger, how to switch off negativity, lack of belief, lack of intimacy, and resentment. So if you're really wanting to change things, highly recommend that. Not just saying that because, of course, I created it. You're probably thinking, well, you're going to say that. I get really positive feedback all the time from people that have said it has changed their lives. You can read my testimonials. And, of course, try it for yourself if you would like to. So how many driving tests did I take? I really can't remember the exact. I think it was 6. I think I passed on the 6th one, or I could have. Failed 6 and passed on the 7th. I really tried to forget it. But it was a really, really painful, negative 7 months for me. Because I was caught, similar to Ben, in that I mentioned, in this negativity of like, oh, this is so bad. Doing the driving is so bad. Doing these actions is so bad. Oh, I don't want to do this. Oh, this is awful. Oh, it's not going to work. You know, and that's why I really, when I was writing this and creating this podcast, really thought, actually, this is exactly what I went through. And if only I could go to that 23-year-old me and say, change your attitude, start being positive, believe it, go for it, you've got this. And maybe I would have passed first time, who knows. So anyway, thank you for letting me share my story with you. Wishing you an amazing day ahead. So happy to have this wonderful audience. I love your podcast, ratings and reviews. I love your feedback. I love that so many of you are enjoying my Facebook group. Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free marriage strategy session today, you can visit www.nicolabeer.com, where you can also get the free marriage fixing ebook, request a topic for the show, and make a donation if the show has been of benefit to you and you want to help keep it going. We wish you an amazing love-filled day ahead.